Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a plain DJ-style intro and turning it into a gritty, playable jungle and old-school DnB opener using Groove Pool tricks in Ableton Live 12. Now this is not just about slicing audio. The real goal is to make the intro feel like a living pre-drop performance. Broken, swung, slightly unstable and full of tension before the first proper drum or bass section lands. This technique is perfect for the opening 8 to 16 bars, a pre-drop tease, or even a switch-up before the second drop. And if you want that authentic old-school energy, this is where it lives. Chopped vocal lines, vinyl grit, break fragments, and tiny timing misalignments that feel human instead of grid-perfect. A lot of modern drum and bass intros sound too clean. Every slice lands exactly where the grid says it should, and the result can feel stiff. What we want here is controlled movement. The Groove Pool lets you keep the intro DJ functional, while giving it swing, pocket, and bounce. That means the intro still does its job, but now it feels like it belongs in a proper jungle arrangement, not just a generic build. We're going to use stock Ableton tools only, simpler or slicing into a drum rack, warp modes, groove pool, filtering, saturation, compression, echo, and automation. By the end, you'll have a slice DJ intro that feels loose, dark, intentional, and ready to lead into an amen drop, a re-entry, or a heavy switch up. First, choose the right source sample. Don't just pick something with interesting words in it. Pick something with rhythmic identity. A vocal call, a crowd cue, a vinyl edge, a spoken phrase with natural movement, something that already has transient landmarks. Old-school DnB intros work best when the source itself has a bit of pulse. Drag the sample into an audio track, then decide how you want to treat it. If it's voice-heavy, use Complex Pro. If it's more percussive or vinyl-like, try Beats Mode. For old-school tension, Beats Mode with transients at 1/16th or 1/8th can be a really good starting point. Keep the preserve amount somewhere around 80 to 120, and don't overcomplicate it yet. A useful advanced move here is to duplicate the audio track. Keep one version clean for editing, and make the another one dirtier for vibe. That gives you flexibility later. The clean copy helps with arrangement decisions, and the dirty copy helps with attitude. Next, slice the intro into a playable drum rack. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. If the sample has strong hits, slice by transients. If it's more continuous, slice by 1/8 notes so you get more performance control. Make sure it slices into simpler inside a drum rack. That's important, because we want each fragment to behave like a playable hit or phrase piece, not like a full loop just running in the background. Rename the rack something useful, like DJ intro slices, and if you want, color code the important pads. Main vocal hits, breaths, vinyl noise, and tail fragments should be easy to spot. Now record a basic 1 or 2 bar MIDI pattern. Don't try to make it perfect yet. The first pass is just a rough performance map. Think in phrases, not just slices. In old-school DnB, each bar should feel like a call, a response, or an interruption. Even if the source is just one sample, you want it to tell a story over time. This is where the Groove Pool comes in. Open it up and look for a groove that feels like a swung break or a hip-hop style pocket. For jungle and old-school DnB, you usually want visible swing, but not some extreme shuffle that turns the whole thing into a mess. A good starting point is an MPC-style 16 swing, or a subtle groove extracted from a breakbeat loop. Apply the groove to the MIDI clip, not just the audio. Then adjust timing strength somewhere around 20 to 55%. Keep random low, maybe 0 to 10%. If the slices respond well to velocity, use a little velocity shaping too, maybe 5 to 20%. The point here is not to over-quantize. Actually, it's the opposite. We want the groove to act like a timing filter, not a preset. You're auditioning how the intro feels against the kick and snare pocket of the drop. If every slice sits dead on the grid, the intro sounds sterile. If the groove is too extreme, it starts to feel lazy instead of hypnotic. So keep it subtle, and let a few hits sit a little behind or ahead of the grid for character. Now open the important slices in simpler and shape how they behave. For vocal hits, one-shot mode usually works well. For chop tails, gate or a shortened end can keep things tight. For noisy fragments, classic can give you a slightly more vintage feel. Also pay attention to the slice start. A tiny start offset can remove dead air. Add a small fade in if you hear clicks, and shorten the release if multiple slices are overlapping too much. One of the biggest mistakes people make with chopped intros is letting the tails blur the rhythm. If the next hit is being masked, shorten the decay and make the groove breathe. For extra movement, use filtering. Put auto filter, before or after the drum rack and low pass the intro somewhere between about 2.5 and 8 kHz, depending on how bright the sample is. Keep resonance moderate so it doesn't start whistling or sounding cheap. A classic move is to start the intro muffled and slowly open the filter over 8 bars. That kind of reveal is pure tension, especially before a bass line entry. Now let's make the rhythm feel more human. Use velocity to tell a story. Make the main callouts hit harder and lower the background fragments. Add tiny pickup slices before strong beats. Leave little gaps so the phrase can breathe. Those spaces are not empty. They're charged. In this style, the silence between hits is part of the groove. If some slices should cut each other off, use mute groups in the drum rack. That way a long vocal tail can stop a noisy stab, or a vinyl fragment can cut off an earlier ambience piece. This keeps the pattern clean and stops the intro from turning into soup. A strong advanced trick is to build a ghost slice layer. Duplicate the rack, filter it heavily, and keep only the lower importance fragments. Pan them slightly if you want, or keep them centered and low in the mix. This gives you a shadow rhythm underneath the main chops. It's subtle, but it adds depth fast. And here's a really important point. Use the groove against the drums, not just inside the intro. If your intro is leading into a breakbeat section, compare the groove of the slices to the groove of the drum pattern that follows. The intro should tease the drum pocket, not fight it. A great workflow is to extract groove from the main break or hat loop, then apply a gentler version of that same groove to the intro slices. That way the transition feels connected. As a rough guide, your intro might sit around 35 to 60% groove strength, then the pre-drop variation can rise to 50 to 75%, and a full break or drop can go even higher if needed. The important thing is continuity. The listener should feel the intro already speaking the language of the drop. Once the slice pattern is working, resample it. This is one of the most useful advanced moves in DNB sound design. Record the output to a new audio track, then treat that bounce like new source material. On the resampled audio, use EQ8 to clean it up. Cut unnecessary lows below 120 to 180 Hz unless you intentionally want some sub-rumble. If the vocal or vinyl edge gets brittle, trim harsh mid somewhere around 2 to 4.5 kHz. Then add a little saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, and follow it with light compression for glue. If you want more underground character, layer a quiet atmospheric bed underneath. That could be noise, vinyl room tone, a filtered amen tail, or a low drone that barely moves. Keep it restrained. The intro should feel deep and focused, not wide and cloudy. Now automate the transition into the drop. This is where the arrangement really comes alive. You can raise the auto filter cutoff over 4 to 8 bars, increase reverb, send on the final phrases, throw a short echo feedback on the last vocal chop, or narrow the stereo width with utility just before the drop to focus the energy. A solid arrangement shape might look like this. The first 4 bars are filtered and sparse. Bars 5 to 8 get denser with more slices and ghost hits. Bars 9 to 12 bring in the last vocal call and more noise tails. And the final bars can include a fill, a tape stop style moment, or a brief silence before the drop lands. For jungle, you can push that chaos a little harder. For rollers or darker bass music, keep it more controlled and let the drop come in with authority. Either way, the intro should resolve into the drop, not just stop. Also keep an eye on your low end and stereo image. Even if the intro mostly lives in the mids and highs, it still has to leave room for the bass and drums. Use utility to narrow it if needed. Check for low end buildup with EQ8 or Spectrum, and high pass carefully if the sample has too much chest tone or vinyl rumble. The best DNB intros are wide enough to excite you, but focused enough that the snare and sub can still own the center. A really good next step is to play the intro live and record a few different takes. One version can be sparse, one can have more pickups, one can use heavier groove strength, and one can be more dramatic with filter and echo automation. Then comp together the best moments. In drum and bass, one killer bar can define the whole lead-in. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, don't over-quantize the slices. That kills the human feel. Second, don't use too many slices at once. The intro needs readability. Third, trim the starts of your slices so you're not carrying dead air or clicks. Fourth, keep an eye on low frequencies. And fifth, don't let the groove become so extreme that it stops feeling like old-school swing and starts feeling unsteady in a bad way. If you want to take it even further, try groove swapping by section. Use one groove for the first half of the intro, and a slightly different one for the final bars. Or create halftime illusion by duplicating the sliced clip and nudging the copy just a little late, then filtering it so it acts like a ghost timing layer. You can also reverse just the last word, the last breath, or the final noise slice and use that as a pickup into the next bar. That kind of tiny detail adds a lot of tension. Another strong idea is velocity storytelling, where the intro starts restrained, gets stronger in the middle, then drops back down before the drop. That makes the whole thing feel like it's speaking. For sound design polish, try adding a little transient emphasis to the main chops, or use subtle parallel crush for attitude. If the intro feels too clean, resample it again after processing and reslice that bounce. Second-generation audio often sounds much more like Riddle Jungle source material. It gets a little rougher, a little more broken, and honestly, a lot more interesting.